Good morning. Talking about the weather, yesterday we were at Zoe had a basketball game, a couple basketball games in Indiana, and she said, "Oh yeah, the groundhog, you know, early spring." She's wearing shorts going in. I'm like, "Girl, it's the Midwest. We could have a polar vortex, you know, in 3 weeks." And then we got out of the game, and she's like, "It's so cold." And today she's wearing jeans that look like she survived a bear attack. I guess we bought them that way. I don't know what's wrong with our culture. So we've been going through the book of Luke. Last week we talked about identity a little bit. When Jesus gets baptized and God speaks from heaven and says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." I can't help but to quote King James, you know, even though I don't read from the King James usually. But that's how I memorized it when I was a kid. So sometimes I quote from King James from memory. I was thinking a little bit about identity, and Annalise, who's our oldest, when she was in sixth grade, she came home one day with an F in math, like a math assignment. That was her first F. And the German in me wanted to go, you know, "You're proud until you're 32, you know. And I just took a deep breath and said, "What happened? Like, why did you get an F in math?" Because she'd only had A's and B's. And she said, "Well, my friends called me a tryhard because she would study. I'm a tryhard. I don't want to be a tryhard. That's not cool." And I said, "You're not a tryhard. You're an Overmeyer. And Overmeyer, we get A's or B's in math." And she looked at me in all seriousness and said, "Well, I didn't know that." I'm like, "Well, you didn't know that because your father hadn't told you, and now I'm telling you." The next 6 years, she only had A's and B's in math because her father, she believed her father's word over the words of her friends or the world. So with that in mind, identity is a big deal. What you believe about yourself is a big deal. Oh, we need to slide the thing over. So today I want to talk a little bit about stolen identity restored. Jesus gets told he's the Son of God. He already knows it, obviously, but the whole community now hears it. He goes into the wilderness for the temptation period, and we're going to spend a couple weeks on the temptation in the wilderness. Before he goes into the temptation, he covers the genealogy of Jesus. He starts with Joseph, and he goes all the way back to King David and all the way back to Abraham. And remember last week we talked about Abraham, how God said, "Sacrifice Isaac," and then he said, "Stop, humans have value, sacrifice the animal instead." And we covered, like, Abraham wasn't shocked at the order to sacrifice his son because all the spirits, all the deities, all the gods did that. What was shocking is when God said, "Stop, humans have value." And so then the genealogy goes all the way, Luke goes all the way back to Adam, 77 names from Jesus all the way back to Adam, where you get your first identity statement in the Bible. And so let's go. Let's read it. So this is in Genesis 1, the very first page of the Bible. If you ever want to know who you are, it's the very first page in the Bible. This is during the creation week. And so then God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So that's ESV, King James, very similar. Let's just update the translation just a little bit. Go ahead, two slides, sweetie. One more. There we go. And the orange, by the way, is for the Illini today. I couldn't figure out how to make the purple blue. So I'm saying the purple is because it's Amy's favorite color. So, all right. So God created humankind. The word really means humankind. In his image, in the likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What is the image of God? What does that mean? You'll hear people say the image of God is the ability to pray, the ability to create, the ability to think and to sing. But if that's the image of God, then some people have more of it than others. And that's not what it says. The image of God is not an ability. It's equally possessed by men and women, male and female. It's equally possessed by everybody. The little baby who's the size of an avocado is the image of God. You don't grow into the image of God. If you're human, you're the image of God. So what does it mean? It could be compared to, we could say it like this. God created humankind as his image. The idea is we are God's representatives. It's an identity that God grants to humans. You are God's image on the earth. The idea is when someone looks at you, they see someone who looks like God if God were on the earth. It's an identity. It's not ability. So if you are super smart, then be super smart like God would be super smart if you were on the earth. If you're not super smart, then don't be super smart and how God would be on the earth. If you're an architect, design like God would design. If you're a teacher, teach like God would teach. If you're a basketball player, play basketball like God would play. You're God, so when the world looks at you, you know one of the first commandments says, don't make a graven image and don't worship it? Do you know why you don't make an image of God? Because you're the image of God. The reason they, in the ancient world, and actually around the world today, you'd make an idol of your God and then you'd worship it, is you were hoping the spirit of that God would come into the idol. And then you could be with your God. The idea here is you're the image of God and the Spirit comes to live in us. Isn't that cool? Like, that makes you the temple, right? That all happens later, way after this. But so we are like God in some way. And I think the point is, so act like it. And, of course, human history is humans not acting like it. And before I go on to the next part, I want to touch on this verse in the New Testament in 1 John. Does that make sense? The image of God. This is a big deal. People have written, there's tons of books about it. But when you get down to it and get to the culture, it means we are God's representatives. We are his ambassadors. Or so we should act like it. You know, whenever you, we should act like it. Now, we have botched it. And so that's why Jesus came. So this is what the perfect image looks like in real life, you know. But this is your identity. You can't take it away. You can't lose it. And so people will say, well, after the flood or after Adam sinned, then you lost the image of God. No. Because after the flood, the writer of Genesis says, you are the image of God. God says, you are the image of God, even after sin. Even after sin. Life is huge. It's so important. Human life, humans are valuable. And this is why we're not pro-abortion, by the way, because that is the image of God from conception. It's human. If you're human, you're God's image. Okay. There are three kinds of temptations that we struggle with. Did you know what they are? Go ahead. In 1 John, he says, three kinds of temptations: desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride of life. And if I say, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. That's King James. So it's in my head, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. It's not that things that your flesh desires or that you like to see or the pride of things that you're proud of your work. That's not a sin. It's only a sin if it's you put it over God's desires, right? If you put the world's desires over God's desires, then that's when it becomes a sin. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, pride of life. All right, let's go back to Genesis. Go ahead. So, God creates male and female in his image. He puts Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, tend the garden. The garden, by the way, is where God and his angels meet on earth, right? That's the paradise. It's heaven on earth. And he's like, all right, you're going to tend the garden. You can eat from anything in the garden except for the one tree in the middle, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. But you can eat from the tree of life. That will keep you alive forever. And so they're like, cool. So they're in the garden tending it. And the idea actually is they're going to extend the garden to the rest of the world. But they get interrupted. So it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? By the way, the word serpent there, the Hebrew word serpent, means serpent. And it also means shining one. There's other tellings of this in the Bible, and I think in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And in there, it describes the creature who comes in the garden as a shining being, like an angel. Or like a fallen angel, we might say. Go ahead. And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. I'm going quickly because you know the story. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And also she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. What did the serpent do to Eve? Go back to the previous one, hon. He said, if you eat from the tree, you'll be like God. And she's like, oh yeah, well, I want to be like God. He's like, he made us. I want to be like him. But what did it say in the first page of the Bible? God made her in his what?
Image.
In his image. In his likeness. Go ahead. Go up one more. Backwards one more.
Backwards?
Yep. One more. Okay, one more.
Okay.
One more. Okay, I guess I meant four more when I said one more. In the likeness of God. That's how he made her. She was already like God. But the serpent, that's her identity. But the serpent comes and says, well, if you want to be like God, you need to do something. Because you know what, Eve? You don't measure up. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. I mean, you're kind of dumb. You don't even know what good and evil is. I mean, seriously. God does. So if you want to be like God, you need to perform. You need to do something to be good enough. But God had just said, I did the work, Eve. I did the work. I did it all. And you're my likeness, so be my likeness. Be my image. But the enemy came and stole her identity. It's a big deal when your identity gets stolen. Anyone have their identity stolen? Horrible. Credit card, social security number. You know, you ever get those fraud alerts? Someone's using your credit card. You know, like I signed up for a subscription and it was my bank thought someone stole my identity. I'm like, oh, I actually wanted that subscription. But I appreciate the bank was trying to stop fraud, right? Someone should have stepped in, Adam probably, should have stepped in and said, whoa, 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 wait. What are you talking about, serpent? To do something, we have to be like God. Because he said we're like him in some way. We're super confused. They should have gone to the Father. They should have gone to God and said, what's that? What's he talking about? But they didn't. They believed the lie. And so, go ahead and go back to that verse. Yep, right there. So she's believing the lie. And what does she do? She looks at the fruit. She saw that the tree was good for food. Desires of the flesh. She saw that it was delighted to the eyes. Right there. Lust of the eyes, right? Desire of the eyes. And what's the third thing? Remember the third temptation? That it would be desire to make one wise. Pride of life. Bam, bam, bam. She didn't stand a chance. When she believed the lie, she got hit on all three temptations. She didn't stand a chance. When we believe lies about ourselves, we're in trouble. And guess what? We all believe lies about ourselves. Okay, let's get to Luke. So, Jesus gets baptized. God says, "You're my son." Here's what happens next. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We'll cover this again next week, but we're going to go through this quickly here. Being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they were hungry, he was not hungry. When they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Lust of the flesh. By the way, what is the devil challenging him? His identity. God just said, "You're the Son of God." He goes to the wilderness. The devil said, "Well, if you're the Son of God, command this bread, the stone to be bread." Because after all, you're super hungry. The enemy comes right at your desires, by the way. And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it'll all be yours." Pride. No, he showed them. He saw. Lust of the eyes. Get it? See it? He showed them lust of the eyes, or desires of the eyes. This is, by the way, Jesus' desire. He's going after these nations. Here's a shortcut to the nations that he wants. Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you will serve." Next week, by the way, we're going to look into this verse. Where did the devil get this authority? Because Jesus didn't say, "You don't have that authority." Jesus acknowledges, "Yeah, you do, and I'm taking it from you, but I'm going to do it my way, not your way." Okay, so we're going to look next week where that comes from, because it relates to why the world's how it is. What's the third temptation, remember? And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on the hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot up against the stone." So he's saying, "Fly, Jesus. Jump off the temple. The angels will catch you." It says it right there in the Old Testament. Fly. That'd be pretty cool, right? Whew, you know, fly. Pride of life. Pride of life. There's a third temptation. Does Jesus give in? I don't know, man. That'd be kind of cool to jump off a building and fly. Jesus answered him, "And it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And the devil ended every temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time. In every point where Adam and Eve failed, we fail. I mean, just be honest, we fail every point because we believe false things about our identity. Here, the serpent's coming in, or the devil's coming in, and yes, they're the same, right? It's Satan. He's coming in and saying, "All right, the Son of God acts a certain way, so prove it." And Jesus is like, "Nope, actually, the Son of God works a different way." And he hits him three areas. "If you're the Son of God, then you will act how I tell you to act." And Jesus is like, "No, I am the Son of God, and I will act how I truly am." So, what does this mean for us? Well, it's awesome. One, you are God's image, so act like it. You catch yourself like, "I don't think God would act like how I just acted." Or some of our thoughts, I don't think God would think like that. Then ask yourself, why did I act like that? Why did I think like that? Because Jesus has won every point. Stop working so hard, put your faith in Jesus, and live from what he says. Live from his identity. And in the next parts of Luke, we're going to learn, you know, what God's image actually looks like on earth. And we've had a hint of it already. A few weeks ago, the taxpayers were like, or not taxpayers, the tax collectors. Remember how unethical they were in that era. And like, well, what does God's image look like when we're collecting taxes? And John the Baptist said, well, don't collect more than you're supposed to. And the soldiers in that time period, they would extort money from people they were protecting. Remember what John said to them? Like, what does God's image look like when you're a soldier protecting people? He said, don't extort people. Just be satisfied with your wages. And the third thing, what was it? Oh, and people who had tons of clothes and other people who were going naked, and right, their neighbors going naked. He said, what does the image of God look like when you have tons of clothes? He said, share your clothes with those who don't have any. Share out of your abundance. Kind of like what we're doing, you know, we're taking the sugar and the flour in, right? You're sharing out of your abundance. God has blessed you, you share with it. That's what God's image does. That's how he lives. In Christ, you have defeated the devil. Not you. Obviously, not you. Jesus has defeated the devil. But in Christ, we have victory over the three temptations that Eve struggled with. Isn't that cool? I don't know. I think that's cool. Challenge yourself. Where am I not? What lies am I believing? This is what, actually, Amy's a therapist. This is what they, something, anyone been in therapy? You don't have to raise your hands. But it's like, what do they try to get at in therapy? Well, what lies are you believing? Well, my dad said I was a loser. My dad didn't say that. I'm just as an example. It's like, okay, well, you're not a loser. Oh, and then when you start believing that, you don't act like it, right? Bring truth to the lie. Bring truth to what you think about. Well, who's the truth? This is a responsive question. Who's the truth? Bring Jesus to the lie. It'll change your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're a youngin or not a youngin. You are God's image. Act like it, because the devil has been defeated on every point. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. This whole image thing is hard to wrap my head around. It's hard to wrap my head around. It's on the very first page, Lord. The very first page. And the very second page, we see the failures of the human race in living as the image of God. And then you came and you showed us the way. You showed us who the truth is. And you gave us life. You gave us access to the tree of life again. Not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. Help us to bring truth, to bring you to the lies that we believe. And go with us in all of our ways. In all of our days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.